Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Fresh off their Christmas Day victory over Maryland, the Boilermakers have a tough road trip this week with visits to Rutgers and Illinois. We'll preview. Let's talk a little bit of football now that the offseason is here. Man, that feels quick on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters along with Brian Newbert. We'll talk to Tom Dienhardt here in just a couple of minutes as well. Brian, we'll know a lot more about Purdue, I think, following this week, right? I mean, whether the Boilermakers could compete as sort of an upper-tier Big Ten team or whether it's going to be one there in the middle of the pack, you know, NCAA bubble type of team. It certainly seems like we might know a little bit more about that after a pretty tough road trip here to Rutgers on Tuesday and Illinois on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, these are two games where if you get one of them, you're a big winner here. I don't think it's the end of the world if Purdue doesn't get either of them, but I do think it's a good gauge of what this team is kind of made of because these are two really high-level road games for them. I don't know. I have no idea what the road actually means in the Big Ten this year or in college basketball in general because there are no fans there, but obviously you still have to travel. You're still out of your comfort zone quite a bit. Your opponent, theoretically, is more comfortable. I think Purdue's results alone have reflected that it does still matter a little bit. But, you know, the other part of it, too, that I wrote about for the site this morning is these are two teams that have a very distinct – you know, kind of competitive edge to them. They talk a lot of smack. They kind of get up on you and they pressure you quite a bit. And that was the very sort of thing Purdue backed down from last year. Between those two opponents and Penn State, the three teams in the Big Ten who were winning, who weren't necessarily accustomed to it, were very brash and very, very competitive in that way. And Purdue never matched it. And they lost every game they played to those three teams last year. This will be a good test of where Purdue is competitively, I think, because these are two pretty competitive teams and Purdue's going to have to match that competitiveness. So that will be the big tell for me between these next two games.
Yeah, particularly a guard, right? I mean, you're taking on a couple of teams in Rutgers and Illinois that have some veteran guards against, you know, setting Eric Hunter Jr. aside, obviously he's a veteran. But against a largely young backcourt for the Boilermakers, I think that's a pretty intriguing matchup to see how those guys for Purdue, guys like, you know, Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman, who had really good games against Maryland, sort of match the level of play from their counterparts on the other side, who are older and, you know, sort of been through this before.
It's absolutely about the guards, and that's what Purdue was really lacking last year. They just didn't have authoritative veteran-like guard play, and now they have veterans playing guard who, you know, should be better off because of those experiences last season, but you also have some young guys who haven't, you know, necessarily been through games like this before who are pretty fearless, but, you know, fearlessness only gets you so far in games like this, too. You have to be sound and all that stuff. And obviously Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman are trending very well after the Maryland game. But this will be a little bit of a different deal. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. But it isn't just about the guards either. It's you've got really good big guys in these games too. Miles Johnson from Rutgers and obviously Kofi Coburn from Illinois. Two players Purdue's bigs didn't have a lot of success against last season, whether it be Travion Williams or Matt Harms. Purdue's going to have to be as tough as those guys are. And, you know, what you can't do is you can't let Miles Johnson's size, length, and physicality get in your head. And you obviously can't be intimidated by Kofi Coburn. And that's really easy for me to say into a cell phone on a Monday morning when I'm not the one who has to do it. But that's simply the reality of it. Purdue's big guys have to match those guys' toughness and physicality. And that's no small feat either. So these are tests all across the board. Everybody who steps foot on the floor is going to have to be really good competitively in these games. And I think we will find out a little bit about what this team is made of here by the end of the week.
Are you saying, Brian, that you wouldn't step up to the challenge of trying to stop Kofi Coburn in the post? Would you back down from that?
I would be looking out for number one there. I would be making the ultimate business decision. If Kofi gets the ball on me with deep post position, I'm going to make that business decision. I'm going to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Run away.
You mentioned
run
fearlessness.
Away.
Or, yeah, duck and cover. You mentioned fearlessness earlier. That's one thing that stood out to me in the Maryland game. I know it's not going to be consistent with freshmen all year, but you do like that Ivy and Newman both seem to have a want to have the ball and a want to have the ball at big moments and a want to go get the shot and a want to go score that you don't always see freshmen. I mean, you know, sometimes guys sort of shy away from the moment a little bit. And I feel like both those guys have a real want to go get the shot, you know, sort of like a Carson Edwards wanted to go get the shot. And I think that's a big thing to have. I think you either have it or you don't. And it seems like with those two guys, they have that.
Yeah. I'll tell you where it comes from too, is these are two guys who do have a little bit of Carson Edwards in them, in the sense that I'm not comparing them as players. I'm just going to say that they work at a level reminiscent of Carson Edwards. They carry themselves and they work like professionals, and players like that tend to want the ball in situations like that because something deep down inside of them says that I'm ready for this because I've worked for it and I want it. Caleb Swanigan was that way. Carson Edwards was that way last year. Like 2 hours after home games last year, I would be looking for a place to do my rap videos in Mackey Arena. And sometimes I had to go into the John Wooden room because Brandon Newman was out on the court shooting around. And this is probably around 11 o'clock at night after a game Brandon Newman didn't even play in, knowing he wouldn't even play in the next game because he was redshirting. Jaden Ivey is the same way. He struggled against Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic, didn't play as much as he probably would have liked. The bus got back to Mackey Arena, or the bus got back to West Lafayette, wherever they drop off. He went right to the arena to shoot around. He said that, you know, he didn't leave the arena after shoot around before the Maryland game, meaning he stayed there all day and he just kind of shot. And, you know, when guys do that, they've kind of wired themselves to be ready at all times to do just that. And I thought you saw in Jaden Ivey, you know, those weren't the shots he's been beating people with this year. Those aren't the shots that necessarily might be the ideal shot for Purdue in those situations, because Jaden Ivey had come into that game like one of whatever it was from 3-point range. But when you've prepared yourself to do that sort of thing and you meet the moment, you tend to be more ready for it. You tend to not really think twice about it because you've conditioned yourself to thrive in those moments. And that's the common denominator, I think, between those two guys that really came out against Maryland.
Yeah. One of my other big takeaways from the Maryland game was that in years past, I think for Trevion Williams, if he gets off to that kind of start, he probably does not recover from it. And if he doesn't recover from it on Christmas Day, Friday, then Purdue probably does not win that game. But sort of to have a good game within his own bad game, I think he finishes with 10-8, which for a lot of people would be a pretty good line. And he does it while battling foul trouble in only, 16 minutes it was. I thought that was, you know, showed a little bit of maturation to his game that he was able to recover from that one. In years past, I don't think he would have.
Yeah, that was a huge offensive rebound he got there with, I think, 3 minutes to go, where Brandon Newman missed the three right in front of Purdue's bench. And he just simply beat everyone to the ball. But he's got to stay out of foul trouble. I mean, we've been saying this the whole season. He gets behind too many plays. He reaches too much. You're that important, and you're your team's big guy. You got to avoid the cheap stuff. You know, you have to steer clear of the cheap stuff. And that's been plaguing him all season long. He had that three-game run there where he was just really good, and he avoided all of the stuff that had been holding him back. But, you know, he gets behind the play there when Joel Mariel beats him down the floor. He ends up having to recover and foul, and that, I think, was his second foul after the first foul came on a defensive rebound. I'm still not really sure where the foul was, but he just has to be ahead of plays and not behind plays, both defensively and in terms of avoiding foul trouble. I know I talk about this stuff a lot with him, but it's because he can be so good. You know, I'm not picking on him, but there are things that hold him back from being the sort of really, really high-level player that he is obviously very, very capable of being. One of them, obviously, is foul trouble. The other is his lapses on the defensive end. If he were just maybe a little bit more ahead of the play, a little more attentive, a little more dialed in, he would be so good. And I think you saw that during that three-game run after Miami. That's the player he can be every single game. And it's just cleaning up this little stuff that holds him back that I think it is the key to him becoming that player.
Much more previews on the basketball team as it gets set to head to Rutgers at goldandblack.com, including Brian's interviews and talks with Matt Painter and players, which are coming up here in about 2 minutes. We'll let you go, Brian. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Deanhart. We'll talk to him a little bit of football. Big pickup, grad transfer over the weekend. We'll break that down and much more on Gold and Black Radio. Gold and Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call. Or text 765-412-5217 and email as well at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Koppelman a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states. www.jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of off-season football. Tom, off-season football? The season lasted like a blink. What happened? Where did it go?
Yeah, six games. Maryland only played five, Kyle. So, yeah, abbreviated. We're seeing bowl games canceled, of course. The Iowa-Missouri Music City Bowl nixed. So, yeah, you know, we just kind of – everybody sort of limped through this season, and if you want to call it a season, as you alluded to. So here we are, my friend. The dying days of 2020, about ready to turn the page. And what's next, Kyle? Spring football, right?
Is anybody going to miss 2020? No. No. It'll be interesting to see what spring football looks like, you know, sort of where we are as a, you know, country and COVID here in March, whether we've made any progress in terms of vaccination to, you know, to allow a few people maybe in to see spring game or practice or whatever. Over the weekend, speaking of off-season, maybe the biggest move thus far of the off-season, and there will be other big ones. Tyler Witt, the grad transfer offensive lineman from Western Kentucky, that's a familiar place, decides that he'll spend his pandemic year. Is that what we have to call it, the pandemic year? That just sounds terrible. the extra I saw you call it that in your story. I guess we'll go with that. He'll spend that extra year at Purdue.
Yeah, like I said, he's a left guard, Kyle. Brings a lot of experience from Joliet Catholic High School, the alma mater of one Mike Allstott. So a veteran hand to plug in up front, Kyle. And I guess if you were to ask me how this line could shake out, I see a real early look at that 2021 front having Cam Craig at left tackle for Grant Hermans.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see Gus Hartwig at center. I think you're going to see the newcomer Witt at this left guard. And probably Spencer Holstedge, I would think, at the other guard. And I got a feeling Grant Long will be back to man that right tackle spot. If not, I think Eric Miller is a good bet there. So, yeah, always good to bolster that line, Kyle. I think it's going to be a strength next year. It should be. I guess, you know, Purdue's transfer needs go a lot higher than just the offensive line. But, again, always good to bring a veteran hand up front to try to get more of a push in the ground game. Because, Kyle, for a second year in a row, Purdue finished last in the Big Ten in rushing.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line was improved, but, you know, clearly in the running game, and that's not all on the line. Purdue could use, you know, running backs.
yeah, you know, honestly, I was thinking about that the other day about your transfer needs, I guess, and running backs would be a high one, right? I think more and more on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're okay at receiver, tight end, quarterback, and again, offensive line. But, again, running back would be the only position to need from a transfer standpoint. In my mind, Kyle, now defensively, my friend, boy, you need another pass rusher. If you can somehow get an end, how about defensive tackle? I mean, is there any more bigger position of need with Watts and Neal presumably gone? Who's going to be your tackles next year? Lawrence Johnson and who? Branson Dean? And then the defensive backfield, Corey Trice. He's a legit cornerback. Majors back. We certainly could use an upgrade at cornerback, I think, as well. And how about punter? I mean, you have to decide if Brooks Cormier or Zach Collins are the answer there. Would you add a grad transfer punter?
What's the situation? I didn't intend to ask this necessarily, but what's the situation at kicker?
Yeah, you know, that's another spot. I guess, if you know, you got Edward Dellinger, JD's younger brother, was on campus last year as a true freshman. You have the Chris Van Eken from Chesterton, Indiana. He kicked off a little bit this last year. Those two presumably would battle for the job. I guess the staff would just, you know, go into the spring having those guys compete. And, yeah, I guess you could always look for a grad transfer kicker, but those would be the two guys on the roster that would be front and center in the competition to kick.
Either one of those guys on scholarship?
I don't believe so. I'm not certain of that, but I don't believe so. But they both dressed for games last year. Of course, like I said, the Van Eken kid kicked off a few times, and I would always see Edward Dellinger dressed. Of course, they have the West Lafayette kid as well, Caleb Crockover, on the roster too. But I think, again, Dellinger and Van Eken would be the top guys. And, again, I'm not sure if either's on scholarship at this point.
J.D. Dellinger not coming back?
He's not coming back. No, he's gone. Grant Hermans is gone for sure. He signed with an agent. He's out of there, as they say. He may be a late-round pick. We'll see. Again, I think Grant Long's a guy on the fence. I get the sense that Greg Long he may be back. Stay tuned there. You know, I think maybe Jackson Anthip will probably be back. Otherwise, Kyle, I'm just not sure about, you know, the Simeon Smileys and Samisi Fakasiekis and, you know, players of that ilk, you know, if they'll be back or not. So, it's, you know, as you said at the top of this segment, there's a lot going on still with football, with these guys making decisions if they want to come back, the transfer portal, adding transfers. We still have another signing day in February as well. Purdue's got to hire a DC, a cornerbacks coach. So there's still a lot going on for a football program that's not playing football.
Yeah, you mentioned all the positions that you could see grad transfers. I mean, assuming you're going back to a 4-3, I would put defensive tackle at the top of that list. Those guys are at, I mean, especially veteran guys, man, there is a premium on recruiting those kind of grad transfers. There's no doubt about that. But you could see Purdue getting a handful of immediate impact guys, right? I mean, at least.
Yeah. Well, that you hope if you're Purdue. I mean, you talked about defensive tackle, Kyle. You've been covering football a long time, and I've had coaches tell me, I'm sure you have too, that's probably the hardest position to recruit and get good players is defensive tackle. You know, Bryce Austin opted out too. He left before the season was over, the true freshman defensive tackle from Michigan, who looked promising. So, yeah, boy, you think if you're Purdue, you could guarantee any defensive tackle a chance to start right away. And, God, the importance of that position. You know, cannot understate the need for those big bodies to clog lanes, tie up blockers, get a push. And, again, pass rusher too, Kyle. We know about Big George, right? But who's going to bring the heat from the other side of that defensive line? You know, that defense finished last in the Big Ten in sacks. I think they had 5 sacks in 6 games. And I know Karloftis only played, one real healthy game, and about half that game in Illinois. So, again, they got to find a way to get pressure without having to blitz all the time too.
Yeah, George Karloftis played one full game and almost
total.
Yeah, one full game and a half another game healthy.
Yeah.
I know one of his sacks came when he was still coming back and had the bad ankle. But so he plays 1.5 games healthy. Leads Purdue in sacks.
We know what he's about, but again, you'd like to get somebody else. And it's going to be fascinating to see what you think. Like I said, Purdue can guarantee anybody who walks through the door a great chance to play a lot of football if you're a defensive end or a defensive tackle. One last position, linebacker, Kyle. I'm not sure how you feel about that spot. Assuming there's a 4-3, who knows? You know, Yanni Karloftis will be on campus. Jalen Graham's back. Jalen Alexander's back as well. Of course, DeMarcus Mitchell, my friend, that's the true wild card. What are you going to do with him? Is he an end? Is he a linebacker? How's he going to fit in your new defense? There are some options at linebacker, I think, that are semi-promising, even with Derek Barnes gone.
Yeah. So you've got your defensive coordinator hot board, of course, at goldenblack.com. Do you have any thought on the timeline? It doesn't seem like Purdue would be in a major rush. I mean, there's nothing there, right, aside from spring practice, which will still be in another – at least 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, it would seem.
Yeah.
Is there anything there other than just making sure that Purdue gets the right guy? I mean, it doesn't need to be said that this is a critical, if not the most critical hire for Jeff Brohm.
Yeah, I think you're right. You want to get it right, correct? You do not want to move in haste here, make another ill-fated hire like Bob Diaco. And to your point, Kyle, this is the most important assistant coach hire Jeff Brohm will have made. Again, he's got to get it right. You can't swing and miss. Yeah, urgency there, like you said. No great sense of urgency, I guess. You know, Michigan's looking for a DC. Northwestern's looking for a defensive coordinator. Brett Bielema's building staff at Illinois. And of course, there's other openings across the country. Those are just guys in the Big Ten looking for DCs. And it will be interesting to see. I keep kicking the tires and making texts and calls. And so nothing at this point, my friend. We'll see. Those things tend to pop up sometimes right out of the blue. And someone gets hired that was in on your radar. So it's fascinating to see. But I got to think this D.C. is going to be allowed to hire the cornerbacks coach, I would think, Kyle. But maybe the new D.C. will be a DB coach and have to hire a linebackers coach. So who knows how this is going to work out.
Yeah. We'll be following up with you, Tom. Thank you.
Be good, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill and was in a couple of presents under our Christmas tree last week as well. Visit gridironmetal.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
A good podcast in the books as we preview Purdue's basketball a week. Should be a good one. Rutgers and Illinois, be sure to check out more previewing those games at goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our show. We'll be back next week. First one of 2021. That'll be exciting in of itself. So we'll do that then. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.